KALW. From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Emeryville.
From the Mission neighborhood.
I'm from Millbrae.
We live in Golden Park.
We live in Oakland.
Mission Terrace.
I'm from West Oakland and from Switzerland originally. Thank you very much.
Coming up, public defenders and community leaders gather to remember and mourn Jeff Adachi.
Jeff, who changed the structure of the criminal justice system.
Then the cultural confusion that can happen when Polynesians migrate to America.
Tongans have gold teeth.
Yeah.
But in America, gold teeth signifies something different.
And an incarcerated musician changes his tune after a visit from his sister.
And she tells me, man, why don't you write a song? And when I hear it, I'll be proud to say that you're my brother.
Connecting through music today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Longtime San Francisco public defender Jeff Adachi was memorialized today at City Hall. He died on February 22nd of what appears to be a heart attack. He stood up for marginalized communities, argued for an abolition of money bail, and he served as watchdog for police and the DA. Adachi came in for interviews here at KALW many times over the years, so many times we joked he was KALW's Jeff Adachi. But really, he represented the whole city.
San Francisco is the most progressive, pro-union, you know, lefty, and I'm probably the poster boy for that in many ways.
Last Wednesday, people touched by Jeff's life gathered outside of the Hall of Justice in San Francisco. KALW's Holly J. McDeed was there.
Hundreds of people spilled onto 7th Street outside the public defender's office in San Francisco. The memorial began with a saxophone solo, then an Aztec dance. A poster of a smiling Jeff Adachi with his signature slicked back black hair was framed with flowers. It was a vigil, but it felt halfway between a celebration and a rallying cry. Public defenders, attorneys, and community leaders were all there, like activist Felicia Jones.
I tell you, call him by his name. Everybody, say Jeff Adachi! Say Jeff Adachi!
Angela Chan, an attorney with the Asian Law Caucus, went up to the mic. She spoke about how significant it was for her to see an Asian American leading the public defender's office.
His parents and his grandparents were interned during World War II. He knew all too well the unthinkable injustices that take place when the government is allowed to lock people up because of the color of their skin and the country they immigrated from.
Chan recalled how Adachi defended San Francisco's Sanctuary City Ordinance in 2009. At the time, few public officials did. 2 years later, Adachi released footage of police illegally entering a hotel room. Adachi managed to uncover recordings of police taking suspects' valuables, drugs, and falsifying police reports.
He further pursued exposing this misconduct until he unraveled the SFPD racist text messaging scandal that made it impossible to deny that racial bias was real in our police department.
Gwendolyn Woods went to the podium. Her son, Mario Woods, was shot and killed by San Francisco police officers in 2015. She turned to Adachi's wife, who stood a few feet away.
Please take my condolences, because there's nothing worse than burying that loved one. But you be proud in his memory.
That's real talk.
Mrs. Adachi, you be proud in his memory. We lost a good one. We lost a good one.
I talked to Woods after. She said Adachi was never afraid to challenge anyone in power. He criticized the district attorney's office for not charging the officers who shot and killed her son. Woods called Adachi a hero of the hood.
Who's going to be that defender now? You know, if we can get somebody with just a minute part of what Jeff. Because we need someone to just stand up and say it loud, clear, and firm. That's what it is. You guys are wrong, and I'm going to prove you wrong, and that's what he did.
After the vigil, the crowd marched to City Hall. Jaku Wilson said he was one of the first public defenders hired by Adachi. And he's not going to stop fighting for the accused now.
For the last 16 years, I've been in Adachi's army. And it's the best army in the whole world. He's made this a public defender promised land.
While we were talking, Fight the Power by Public Enemy came on in the background.
He taught us to fight, 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 and never be satisfied. Always ask for more, always expect more. And so that's the legacy of Jeff Adachi. This is like the song says, fight the powers that be. You know, that's Jeff, you know, that's his spirit.
Throughout the night, Adachi was described as a courtroom gladiator, a warrior lawyer, a real-life superhero. In November, there will be an election for San Francisco's next public defender. Whoever wins that will have some big shoes to fill. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDee.
Fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. We got to fight the powers that be.
Holly's KALW's Justice Reporter. You can reach her at justice@KALW.org. Joanne DeLuna contributed reporting for that piece. And Joanne was also at today's memorial at City Hall, and she joins me now in studio. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Hona.
So what was it like there today?
Yeah, so it was a lot more solemn than it was on last Wednesday. There was violin players, there was a gospel choir that sang also, and people were dressed up, and it was a lot more quiet. And the room itself at City Hall, it was just like this beautiful, very quiet room. There was a variety of people that spoke, from elected officials, one reverend. There was a former poet laureate that also spoke there. They had the same MC as they did last Wednesday, which is Rudy Corpus, and he's the founder and executive director of the United Playas Violence Prevention Organization. And so he did a really great job of keeping things a little bit more lighthearted and bringing some humor into that space. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco mayor, London Breed, spoke. And so she shared this really nice, touching story about the first time that she met him when she was 15 years old. And Jeff Adachi was there to help one of her friends who had gotten in trouble. And she said, I knew that it wasn't going to be the last time that I saw him. And sure enough, they ended up working together on lots of community issues. And yeah.
Who else spoke?
The former San Francisco mayor, Willie Brown, was there. And so he also kept things a bit lighthearted. And he said that he understood that politicians needed criminal defense lawyers, mm-hmm. To which everybody started laughing. Mm-hmm.
What surprised you today?
I think it was just the many different sides to Jeff. And so he had this persona of being a very professional lawyer with really nice suits and slick back hair. Mm. And then also just like being somebody from the hood as well, because the neighborhoods that he went into, people ended up trusting him and realizing that they were there to help, that he was there to help them. And so he just became one of them. And he just seemed like he was loved by everybody wherever he went. I was surprised that he was also a filmmaker, mm-hmm. and he was really into film. And Willie Brown also mentioned that that's one of the things that they would talk most about. And he did make two films, even though he was busy being a defense lawyer. And he brought attention to Asian Americans in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. Thanks, Joanne. Joanne DeLuna is a fellow in KALW's Audio Academy. And we want to share one more memory of Jeff Adachi with you. Back in 2011, he ran for mayor in an election ultimately won by Ed Lee. We interviewed all the candidates that year, like we always do in elections. And as part of that conversation, we asked each one to talk about a song that meant something to them. And Jeff's was especially meaningful.
My name is Jeff Adachi. I live in San Francisco. The song that was most meaningful to me was a song that my dad used to sing. And, you know, in the old days, when people got married, they couldn't afford any entertainment. And so everyone would get up and sing. And so he used to sing this song called Malawala Boy. And it's an old Hawaiian song. It goes like this. Malawala Boy, my dear boy, there's no more hila hila, no more 5 cents, no more house. Go out of Paka'ia, moi, moi. Papa, he come home late from work. He sees Mama drink wine. Mama gets mad at Papa. They have a good old time. You know, it was about being poor in Hawaii, you know, which is where my family came from. And it always stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Adachi died on February 22nd. You can find all of our coverage of him and those who remembered him at KELW.org.
Manuel Abo, am I dear boy? You no more, Hila Hila. You no more 5 cents, you no more house. You go all about here nowhere. Papa works for the stevedores. Mama makes the lay. Sister goes with the howly boy. Brother goes away.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hena Baba. And next, we're going to hear from our friends at Uncuffed, our radio training program at Solano State Prison in Vacaville.
This is Uncuffed.
Stories from Solano State Prison.
Today we have two stories from Uncuffed, and both are about people who trace their heritage to Tonga, the tiny nation in the Pacific. Uncuffed producer Damon Cook is Tongan, and he says kids in immigrant families can sometimes feel trapped between two worlds. In this case, American urban culture and an ancient Polynesian tradition.
Growing up in Tongan households, mothers will often ask, Tamasi'i, what good did you do today? That's the question I thought of while interviewing Te Vita Taumoyanga. Both of us have done some things we regret. And this is a story of Te Vita's journey, of losing himself and finding his way back to his culture and back to the goodness our mothers called upon us to maintain.
Malolele.
Malolele.
Fefeaki.
Saipe.
Saisaipe?
Saipe.
Malo Pito.
What is your entire name?
My entire name is Te Vita Abraham Kelimamo Taumoeanga. And my last name, Taumoeanga, means war with sharks.
Where are your parents from?
My father, Te Vita Aunufe Taumoeanga, he's from Ha'apai. My mother, Lesieli Waskeli Kio, she's from Tongatapu.
What would you say your earliest memories growing up of the culture of being Tongan?
Growing up, see, I had four brothers and one sister, but I'm the youngest. They're all born in Tonga, and my parents immigrated out here to Hawaii to find a better way. They tried their best to bestow the Tongan culture in me.
So was it a predominantly immigrant community,
yes,
did you say?
Yes, most definitely. My parents had a lot of compassion towards them because they used to do a lot of immigration raids. And when they'll fly, when they run, our apartment complex was close at 7, so they'll hop fences and they'll end up coming in and stuck in our little corridor, and then my mom will hide them off, you know, hide them away, because my parents was of the same thing happened to them. Wow. So I hold Hispanics really close to my heart.
Was there any point in your time growing up where people would mistake you for another race?
Oh, all the time, all the time. When I'm walking down the neighborhood, these Filipino ladies used to pull over and ask me for directions in Tagalog.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not Filipino. The expression of their face would change dramatically, and they'll roll their window up and speed off. You know, but maybe it was they just felt, you know, different. Maybe it was like gold teeth. And
Tongans have gold teeth.
Yeah.
But in America, gold teeth signifies something different.
All the Tongans had gold teeth. When people seen me, they said, oh, how'd you get gold teeth? I was young. They associated gold teeth with drugs and a hip-hop kind of amount, right? They don't know, in our culture, we do this.
Where did you lose the culture that you were raised in and become part of the gang culture?
I dropped out of high school second semester. When we started gang banging, and plus me being the only islander out there, I felt I had to push harder and stronger, and I had to be mean and vicious. That's why I started drinking.
Can you describe to me your first robbery?
Pops and I, we were out of work for like a week straight. The money that we were using to, you know, get groceries, we had to kind of divvy it with the gas. And I seen my dad just all beat, you know? And I just got desperate. And that day I was just, you know, I was hungry. And I was going there just contemplating, kind of just looking for just casing the whole neighborhood, see who, you know, who's gonna get it that day. And my mind was already made up when I left the house. It was the reason I left the house. And my first intention was to go find a drug dealer, but I didn't have a pistol. And see my little bros hanging out, and they seen me. They seen they seen my face and something was up. And then he was starting to walk away, and dude was riding his bike up towards me. And it's Friday, so I'm like, oh yeah, it's most likely he got paid today. So as soon as he got closer, I knocked him off his bike. He didn't have nothing in his pockets. So I was like, no way. And he had his wallet. And nothing in his wallet. I ran through his boots. He had $400.
How did you feel?
I feel guilty. I feel bad. You know, he's like my dad, a hard worker, you know? That day I was quick to bad choices.
So if you could say something to your parents at this point in time, right now, with what you know right now, what would you say, man? What would you say to them?
You guys did everything you could. Nothing was in vain.
There's a term in Tongan, kamata fo'o.
New beginning.
Exactly.
Start over.
Exactly. So every time a youngster comes in here and I see him, I whisper to him, kamata fo'o. And I want to know, is he ready to begin anew? Is he ready to start a new beginning? And when I look into the eyes of someone like you who has done the work, and I consider you doing the work because you're living a different life, a new testament, you can reach someone else that's coming through the door. Ofalai atu mo'oni.
Thank you. Ofalai kakoi. You're doing great things out here, brother. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
We are the people of the Polynesian Islands. We hold the proud blood that runs into this earth.
That was Davida Dalmoyanga speaking with Damon Cook. Both are incarcerated at Solano State Prison. Damon is a student in KLW's radio program there.
Left by our ancestors. We feel the drum beat beneath us. It's the heartbeat of these islands. And we will show the world just what it means to love. We are the Polynesian people. We are here to show the world that we can live in peace and harmony.
Our next story from Uncuffed is about Remus Sam Longy. He's serving 38 years to life on a first-degree murder conviction, and in prison, he's become a guitarist and a songwriter. And recently, he wrote a song about the people he harmed. Uncuffed producer Brian Mazza has his story.
How does Remus Sam Longy, a Pacific Islander in prison for life, adopt his Tongan ceremonial tradition to compose a remorseful song of healing?
I stole her sunshine.
Malolele.
Malolele.
How are you today?
Saibe. Saibe.
Tell me about your last name, Longy.
My last name, it goes back as my grandpa's grandpa. The chief had told my ancestor to build him an estate in downtown Nuku'alofa. And then my ancestor replied back and told him and said, I'll build my estate in the heavens. Thai chief told him like, well, what about your descendants? What about those after you? What will they inherit? My ancestor told him they will inherit the heavens. Yeah, I'm an inheritor of heaven, you know.
Would you mind sharing what happened that night?
It was December 21st, 2002. A friend of mine invited me to come out to a barbecue that was doing at night. It was a nighttime barbecue. And then after the barbecue, we drank. There were other group of gentlemen that was outside across the street. Altercation took place. And the police got there and we all arrested and stuff. And then I didn't realize it was serious till we got to the county jail. And they told me that you better hope this guy wakes up, man. And I was like, what? I don't remember. I don't remember it being that serious, man. Family decided to pull his plug on Christmas Day, and My charges changed from attempted murder to homicide.
Okay, talk to me about your victim's family.
They was always showing up to my court dates, you know.
You were well aware of the impact that you had on that family.
Yeah.
So talk to me one day. You're talking to your brother. Tell me about that.
Man, it was crazy, man, when I had to translate for Dad, man. My own dad was apologizing to the family. My dad don't speak English, you know. And he said something about, even though my son is going to prison, you know, I'm still fortunate in the sense that I can still talk to him, you know. When he told me that, it made sense for me because when I look back, there was a period where the victim's family stopped showing up.
So whatever your dad told them?
My dad's apology, I believe it came off across as, you know, maybe.
Your victim's family stopped coming to court.
Man, they stopped showing up. They didn't even come for trial. They didn't even come for the sentencing. They just...
They started healing. What your dad told them started the healing process for them.
I believe that, back in the Polynesia, like if a party even kills another party, right? Before the sun rises, they go and they wear a bulo, like a tapa cloth, and they sit in the front of the victim's family's house, right? The family can do whatever they want to do with them. They can kill them, they can retaliate, they can do whatever they want to do. And if not, the family will come out and forgive them. That's exactly what my dad did.
You're still writing music, and most of your music had negative connotations to it.
Growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in is going through the juvenile hall system and stuff, like raps was like how we kill time.
Tell me about what happened when your sister comes to visit you.
She asked me, hey man, so I'm hearing from Vallejo and them and all your nephews that you've written so many songs, you know, all you do is write songs. And I was like, yeah, I got a lot of them. Well, sing me one of your songs. Let me hear one of your songs. And I was going through which song would be appropriate, you know, to sing for my sister. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of one.
Because of what?
Because of the content of the songs, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like the taboo is we can't swear when we're around each other. We can't, I can't be in her room. She can't be in my room. We can't even watch TV together.
So you weren't able to share any of your music with your sister at that point in time?
None.
Tell me what happened after that. With your creativity, that is, what you wanted to do.
She tells me, it was a turning point for me. She tells me, you can't sing one song, huh? It's like, nope, I can't. I said, why? It's like, kap kap it. Meaning swear words, huh? It's like, yup. And she tells me, man, why don't you write a song that when I hear it, I'll be proud to say that you're my brother. Or if your nieces hear the songs, that they'll be proud to say that you're their uncle, you know what I mean? Sing beautiful songs. And that kind of like sparked this whole thing for me that I had never written my letter of remorse. And I go to what's natural for me, you know what I mean? Like
the music.
The music. So I go back to playing the guitar. And when I'm playing the guitar, this song comes to me, man.
I stole her sunshine. Robbed her blind in the middle of the night. With a phone call bearing bad news, the dreadful kind. The kind you never want your mother to hear, feel, and go through.
That's Remus Sam Longy performing his song Heaven Please with guitarist Joseph Kaufman. Longy was interviewed by Brian Mazza, a student in KLW's class at Solano State Prison. You can find more songs from Longy at our website, kalw.org/uncuffed. And while you're at our website, if you haven't subscribed yet to the Cross Currents podcast, you need to do it. This is your chance. Hear all our stories whenever you want, wherever you want.
Help her make it through the night. Heaven, please let us see a better tomorrow. Heaven, please help her.
This music is by Naima Shalhoub from San Francisco. She's performing at the Rickshaw Stop tomorrow night, along with other women musicians of color, in honor of International Women's Day.
A woman on the fence, between her power and a system that devours. She needs to play the game that once pinned her down and filled her with shame. To pay rent, she takes off her clothes for an audience she loathes.
The Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Lance Gardner, Priya Mahadevan, Drew Gwynn, Marissa Ortega-Welch, Jessica Plachik, Andrew Stelzer, and Eli Wertschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Babel.